We go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. While you're turning there, let me, on behalf of my wife and children, thank you for the invitation, and as well, particularly to the Newells. They've been allowing us to stay at their home, and we've had a wonderful time in fellowship. And Joey, I'll tell you what my dad told me, my grandfather did. He was at a meeting, and they went 20 minutes long on the song service, and the song leader said, I'm sorry that you're gonna have to cut your sermon short, and I got into your time. And he says, my time starts when I get in the pulpit. So, I didn't say that, my grandpa did. So, I want to read, beginning in John chapter 8 at verse 1, read down through verse 11, familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he asked unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. A lot of different things to be taken from John chapter 8, this passage of Scripture, and to preach upon. And I want to deal with here this phrase that Christ asked this woman. He says, Woman, where are those thine accusers? I want to handle it perhaps a little differently. It's different than I've ever heard it before, but impressed with the Lord. And myself personally have been going through a period now that the Lord has been purging and stirring me for some time now, dealing with a lot of things. One of them is sin in my life, some I knew about, some I was unaware of. And we find here caused some things to be brought up and caused me to wonder. And I look at this portion of Scripture here, and I want to again deal with this question, where are those thine accusers? And this woman here was guilty. There's no question of that. The Bible tells us that in verse 4, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So she was guilty of it. And you and I are guilty of sins as well. Maybe not particularly this sin, but we're guilty of sin. Even you and I who are saved, there are sins that we have committed. And we're aware of this. There are things that we've done. And we find again that this woman was guilty of what she had been accused of. And they had a different purpose. They had brought her to Christ to accuse him, but they had essentially accused her, hadn't they? They had said unto her, the word accuse means to charge with fault or offense or to blame. And the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we also find, if you'll look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and notice here in verse 20, and the Bible here is speaking, as I understand this, about a just individual. It says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So you and I who are here this morning, who are justified by God, there's not a one of us here who doeth good and sinneth not. And so we are guilty. We are at fault. We have offended. Even though saved, we're still offensive to God, aren't we? And I tell you, that bothers me. And it makes me wonder about a few things. And this woman's guilt is not in question. Jesus never said she was innocent, did he? And God has never declared that you and I are innocent. The only individual who is innocent is Christ. He's the only one that the Bible says is just. Our justness is imputed to us from Him. But yet there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so I am accused. Even in my regenerated state, I feel accused. And Christ proposes this question unto this woman. He says, "Where are thine accusers?" Now this woman had several accusers. The Bible says that there were, in verse 2, scribes and Pharisees. And we don't know how many there were, but they brought her unto Jesus. And they brought her for a different reason, didn't they? Their idea was to find accusation against Christ, that he was going to have something to say that was contrary to the law of Moses, which is the law of God. But he didn't. He didn't have anything contrary to say about it. And I often think about how he answered them and how wise he was. But I want you to note that, again, when an individual is brought to Jesus, what took place? Her accusers were dispelled, weren't they? And Jesus proposes the question to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" When a sinner is brought to Christ, he dispels those who are making accusations against us. And I have accusations today. Perhaps you do as well. Some of the things that accuse us, if you look with me, and let's go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I am not ignorant of all of my sin. There are things that we do that we're unaware of. As I understand it, the law made a provision for ignorant sins as well. There are things that we do that, you know, some people, you tell them, you say, well, this is a sin. They had no idea that what they were doing was a sin, did they? They were ignorant of it. And yet the law has a section that deals with ignorance, sins of ignorance. Christ's blood cleanses us from those. And here we find, what I was getting at was, there are things that we're aware of. When Christ spoke to those who were accusing the woman, the Bible says that their conscience convicted them, didn't it? That they themselves were not without sin. My conscience today, having been saved since second Sunday in May 1999, it convicts me of my own sin today. And yet the Bible says, notice here in Romans 2:15, it says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Our thoughts and our conscience convicts us. It accuses me. My conscience tells me, I know what the Bible says, my conscience and my thoughts are, this is what you've done. You claim to be saved, and yet here's your life. It's filled with not doing good, but sinning. We also find that there is accusation today. If you look in Acts chapter 24, we find this is a legal proceeding here in Acts 24, but the woman who was taken in adultery in John chapter 8, and as well we find here that Paul in Acts 24, he was accused by the religious people of his day. And there are people of religion who accuse us concerning sin, don't they? And the Bible says here in Acts 24:2, I want to read verse 1 and 2. It says, "And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest ascended with the elders and with a certain order named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by the promise." Notice there, Tertullus, who is an orator, he's the lawyer who's going to speak on behalf of the religious people of his day. He's going to inform the governor. He begins to accuse the Apostle Paul. And that's exactly what happens. The high priest is having somebody accused. The religion of this world accuses us, doesn't it? Then we find as well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, how that Satan appears before God and he brings accusation against the saints. And I tell you, Satan, he'll come to you and he'll bring accusation to you. He lets you know what you are. And the Bible tells us here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You see, Satan is accusing the brethren unto God. He's not accusing lost people. He's accusing saved people unto God. He's saying, look, they're guilty. You said you saved them, but look at them. They're sinning. They're awful. And I tell you, he lets me know about the things I've done as well. He conjures them up to me. And he says, this is who you are. Remember Satan when he appeared before Job and God was speaking about Job and he was saying, look at how upright Job was. He was upright. God said he was, wasn't he? He's more upright than I was. And that I am. And Satan said, listen, God, the only way, reason he's this way is because you've blessed him so much, you put a hedge about it. So God said, go ahead and touch all that he is, and yet Job said not. And he said, I want you to go ahead and I want you to touch him personally, but you can't take his life. Because Satan had said, well, he's only as good as he is because you've given him life. And so Satan here is accusing, he's bringing accusation against Job. He's saying, God, if you remove all of these from him, he'll curse you. And so again, what I'm drawing is that Satan continues to accuse, doesn't he? He's relentless. Then if you would look in John chapter 5 and verse 45, we alluded to this in our first message about how that I believe that when God saves an individual, He writes His law upon their heart. The law of Christ. And we desire to do it that we might be a sweet-smelling savor, well-pleasing unto God. We don't do it in order to be saved. We do it because we want to be like Christ who fulfilled the law. And in John 5, and yet Paul said, I can't do it. And he concluded Romans chapter 7 with the thought, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the answer is Christ. It's Jesus. But Paul seemed to have a little bit of accusation, didn't he? that he knew that he was saved, but he had this accusement against him that he was guilty of not being able or not doing, performing the law of Christ that was written within him. He had a desire to do it. He delighted in it, but he couldn't do it. John 5 and verse 45, the Bible says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust." The law of God brings accusation, doesn't it? It brings it to lost sinners, people who trust in the law. Jesus said, "Listen, you trust in the law, it's accusing you. You think it's saving you, or by keeping it you're going to be saved. It's accusing you." And yet, sometimes the Spirit, the law of Christ is written on my heart, it accuses me. Or at least that's the way I feel. And yet, when I go to Jesus, He dispels all the accusers. My conscience and thoughts cannot accuse me in the presence of Christ.
Amen.
The religions of this world cannot accuse me in the presence of Christ. Satan cannot accuse me in the presence of Christ. The law of God no longer accuses me, because the Bible tells us that He took the handwriting and of ordinances that was against us, He blotted it out, and He nailed it to His cross. And it's no longer accusing me, because He fulfilled it in my stead.
Right,
I have to remember that. So when this woman was brought to Christ, He says unto her in John chapter 8, and this is true of anyone here who is without Christ, and we who are with Christ, who are saved, we might remember this. He says unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And He says, "Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." Lord. The scribes and Pharisees called Him Master. She called Him Lord. The Bible here tells us no man. She didn't have any accusers, did she? She didn't have any because of Jesus. And the Bible speaks to us here, and it shows us that Christ dispels, He does away with all that accuses. I remember as years past and gone, I like to read history, and people, they would accuse themselves if they would do wrong, and different people in military, if they knew something and withheld their tongue because of orders, they would say, "Well, I accuse myself. I accuse myself of sin. My thoughts and conscience accuse me of wrongdoing." And if your thoughts, your conscience does not accuse you of sin, be wary, because you may have a conscience that's been seared with a hot iron. But Christ dispels these. He dispels our conscience and thoughts. The law, the arch enemy, Satan, all those who lay these accusations against us. These are not false accusations. This woman was caught in adultery. We have been caught in sin, and yet Christ dispels those who accuse us, so that no man remaineth. I have given these individuals, I have given Satan ample ammunition to accuse me. I have given my thoughts and conscience ample supply to accuse me. They are correct in doing so, but Christ is correct in dispelling them. Not because of anything in me, but because of who He is. Look in 1 John chapter 2. What we have is a legal proceeding, isn't it? They're accusing her. And we are accused as well. And the Bible tells us here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Christ is having John write, the Spirit of God is writing unto His people. He says, "My little children." And my father, remember, he said, this is a complete thought. There's a period. You want to know what God's will is for you? That you do not sin. That's His will. That's what He told the woman who was taken in adultery after He saved her. He said, go and sin no more. That's plain, isn't it? Christ knew we couldn't do it. That's why 1 John 2 and verse 1 doesn't end there. The Bible says, and if any man sin, notice if. He knew it was a possibility, but He doesn't say when you sin. He doesn't say, He says, if any man sin. He's not anticipating, He's not, yeah, go ahead and sin, I'll take care of it. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we're being accused. Who's Satan accusing? He's accusing us to God. God is the judge. And yet Satan's accused us. Our thoughts accuse us unto God. And yet we have an advocate with the Father. And notice the characters of our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, He goes to our Father, He goes to the judge, and He pleads His righteousness in our stead. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. And Christ does not plead us, He pleads Himself. And so I want to look at this and have been trying, I hope you're with me on this, the point of a sinner saved by grace who's still sinning. We sin, don't we? And I'm accused of these things, and yet I have an advocate with the Father. And notice what it says in verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means that He is the satisfying sacrifice. Jesus satisfied the Father. And so when Satan accuses us, when our thoughts accuse us, Christ holds Himself to the Father and says, you have already been satisfied. And He says He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation. He is that which propitiates. He is that which satisfies God. He's the only one who satisfies God. Even in my redeemed and regenerated state, I am unable to satisfy the Father. Look over in Romans chapter 8. And I'd like you to see here some of the verses. Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to look at verse 31. Here we find that the Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? I'll ask you, what should we say to these accusations? What do we say to them? We're guilty. They're right. Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. The word justify means to pronounce free from the guilt and the penalty of the law. And if the judge has pronounced us free because He's been satisfied, who can lay anything to my charge?
That's right. Amen.
Verse 34. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. How can you condemn him? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, right now, Satan is in heaven, is accusing us unto God, and yet the Bible says that it is Christ who is there making intercession for me. Satan says, looking at Nathaniel, he's a sinner still. He's still sinning. And Christ says, I died for him. He's mine. You will not lay anything to his charge. Amen. Because I died and rose again for him.
Amen.
So he dispels all my accusers.
Yeah.
Tell you, it's something, isn't it? Look over in Romans 3. I'll return to Romans 8 here, I believe. Romans chapter 3. The Bible speaks to us in the context of Romans is a tremendous book. I particularly like it. I like legal things. And Romans is a book on, it's a courtroom. It's a there's a book I have called Romans, a Courtroom Drama. And that's what it is. It's marvelous. And it says here, for all have sinned, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it says, being justified freely. And that word freely means without, not only without price, but without cause. There was no reason for God to do this. And it says that we are justified, we are pronounced free from the guilt and the penalty of the law. We know we're free from the penalty. We have eternal life, but you're free from the guilt. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here we have the phrase again, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. These are all legal terms, aren't they? What it comes down to is that God has pronounced me free from the penalty, the guilt of the law, and He has done so because of Jesus. And it was His grace that did it. I didn't earn it. It was done freely without price and without cost to me. And that Jesus satisfied, notice, propitiation through faith in His blood. The death of Christ has satisfied God and His law once for all. So accusers, go away. Because I have an advocate.
That's right.
The law of God has been satisfied in my case. Go away from me. See, this woman was in the presence of Christ, wasn't she? Literally. Remember there, James says, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
Satan will flee from you. But this is not the end of it. Because the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. So the accusers go away one by one. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now she's with the lawgiver, isn't she? Now she's with him, as the Bible says in James 4 and verse 12, the lawgiver has the power or the ability to destroy or to save. She's with Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13 that We are as naked before His eyes. He sees all things. He knows you better than you know yourself. There are no sins that I've committed that He is ignorant of. He knows them all, doesn't He? All they knew was that she had committed adultery. Christ knows everything. And so there she is with Christ, and He asks this question. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She says, no, Lord. Or no man, Lord. And notice what Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. So not only does He dispel the accusers, the perfect and righteous and just God Himself will not condemn us because of the blood of His Son. He says, neither do I condemn thee. And you'd think that after God has saved us, we go back into sin, we stray from Him, and yet He says again, neither do I condemn thee. Says those who bring accusations, Satan would have you condemned. Your own thoughts and conscience would have you condemned, but I will not. I will not condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, I'll just read it to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to us. From now forevermore, neither do I condemn thee. When Jesus said that, it was not conditional on her continuing to go and sin no more. It was unconditional when He said, neither do I condemn thee. I will never condemn you. Why? Because my blood has satisfied the law of God. Let us turn to Romans 8. And I want to read a few verses here and we'll close. The Bible again, I want to start in verse 33 yet again. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And I understand this to be that Paul is writing about, who is it that condemns the elect of God? Who is it? Who are those who would dare to condemn them and lay any charge when it is the Son of God who died and saved them? Who would dare do such a thing? When it is Christ that died, and I like this, yea, rather that is risen, because He is. He is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He is right there now combating those accusations, isn't He? The Bible tells us that Satan accuses the brethren night and day. And one day Christ is going to put an end to that too. Well, the Bible tells us here, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the answer is nothing. Not even sin is going to separate me from the love of Christ. And then he concludes, I'm not going to read all these, you can take your time. Let's look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Don't you think some of the things that we mentioned that are that accuses are involved in that? Isn't Satan, you know, the prince and power of the air? Isn't the principalities, doesn't that speak of you know, the things that are on Satan's side? Isn't that what we wrestle with? Isn't that what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6? We wrestle with those things. We're fighting with them. And yet the Bible says that they are not able, and then he says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation. Satan is a creation, isn't he? He's a creature. And the Bible says, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where are those thine accusers that are washed away in the blood of Christ?
Amen.
Brother Jerry.
Amen.